You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a post-game edition of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose of Sports Talk 790, and I'm bringing this to you from a happy Toyota Center where the Rockets are now 1-0 in the preseason after a big victory over the Shanghai Sharks. And, you know, let's be real, the Rockets, of course, would expect to beat a team from the Chinese League, and that they did tonight, but there were certainly a lot of positives to take out of it. Now, of course, it's one preseason game, so I'm going to lead off with the caveat that, you know what, the rotations, what Mike D'Antoni tries, it's going to vary a lot from game to game. The preseason is about experiments. They're going to try different lineups, different configurations at different times. So we are admittedly putting one game under far too large of a microscope. But you know what? That's all we have to go on. We in the media have not really gotten to see that much, at least in terms of scrimmage action in training camp. So it's interesting to talk about this game because, well, it's all that we have at this point. So I'm not drawing any conclusions. I'm just going to tell you guys how I saw it tonight and what the key takeaways were from this opener here at Toyota Center. The way I figure is the easiest to break this down is into things I liked and things I didn't. And tonight, of course, there's going to be a lot more in the things I like column, but I'm going to start off things I like. Nene. Nene was an absolute revelation. We've heard about him throughout training camp. The Rockets, including Coach D'Antoni and James Harden, have raved about him. We saw it in the Olympics on Team Brazil. But he was absolutely outstanding tonight. First quarter came off the bench with 10 points in 6 minutes. I remember that because I tweeted that he was on pace to put up 60 and 12 in starters minutes. But it wasn't just that he was scoring, it was the way he was scoring. He was a man among boys finishing inside. And I know some of you are going to say, well, you know, he's playing players in the Chinese League. Well, yeah, that's true. But Clint Capella, who is a very good NBA player, he played the first 6 minutes. He started at center, and he didn't have nearly that much success inside. Now, of course, he was able to foul, or unfortunately, he missed free throws. We'll get to that momentarily. But Nene was not only able to draw fouls, he was able to finish. And so when you look at the Chinese team, yes, they don't have the athleticism of the NBA, but they certainly have the size. These are big players. These are legitimate power forward and center quality players in terms of height and bulk. And Nene, with his combination of power and speed, he looked like he did 2 or 3 years ago, finishing with ease. He was able to hit from the line, go 4 of 4, I believe. Nene was just an absolutely very solid offensive player. Defensively, he was sound. He didn't really have any blocks. But again, you don't have to have blocks to be a rim protector. It's about spacing. It's about occupying that area on the court. And so I don't think anyone with the Rockets could be more pleased with Nene than they are through 1 week of training camp in this first preseason game. Of course, they're going to have to manage his minutes closely. He is 34. You're not going to want to run him out there, even if he's great, for 30 or 35 minutes a night, because you're going to be asking for trouble. But so far, so good. I do think it's interesting that they brought him off the bench. He had been spending some time with the ones in training camp, and he still could. It's worth noting, even though Capella started the game, Nene actually started the second half with the rest of the Rockets starters. So it's far from a done deal, and I think the Rockets are probably going to gamble on the upside of Clint Capella. I've said that I think that's the safe bet. But you know what? Nene is making it a tough case. Even if he wins the job, I think his upside is probably limited about 25 minutes, given the age and injuries. But you know what? He is really forcing the Rockets to make a tough decision. And if you're the Rockets, the more quality players like that you can get, the better. Other things. We know James Harden was magnificent, 16 points and 10 assists. But we knew that James Harden against a Chinese team, that's a mismatch. We know that James Harden came into camp in phenomenal shape. I was very pleased with how well he shot the ball. If you guys remember last October in the preseason, he did not shoot particularly well. He was very cold. And even though he insisted that he'd be ready to go, and Rockets fans believed him coming off of an MVP caliber season, it did lead to somewhat of a slow start in the regular season. He was shooting the ball very well tonight, I thought. And so there's a lot of positives to build on with regards to his performance. But I think most of us expected that. What I actually liked the most from James was seeing his demeanor on the court. He was a very positive guy in how he interacted with his teammates. When KJ McDaniels came off the bench with back-to-back alley-oop lobs in the second quarter, the way James responded to him, he was encourage him. You could see him smiling, patting him on the back, telling KJ to get going. You really got the sense in this game that this was James Harden's team. And you know what? It's always been James Harden's team from a basketball perspective. He's been the best player on the Rockets ever since he's been in Houston. But this was, you know, one of the first times in a while that it really felt like the team was kind of in his image. He was the guy that was, you know, not just with his play, but with his actions leading the team and kind of being a coach on the floor. And so when you look at someone like KJ McDaniels, certainly there's a lot of athleticism and a lot of promise, but at this stage, after being with the Rockets in the 2015 trade deadline, there's a lot of uncertainty. So I'm sure he really appreciates someone like James Harden, one of the best players in the NBA, showing that kind of faith in him and guiding him along. I thought that was really good to see from James, not just the fact that he shot the ball well, but the fact that he's contributing with his teammates so much. The bench guys, KJ, Corey Brewer, Sam Decker, all played fairly well. As far as the rotation, here's the way it went. I know a lot of you guys watched the game, and if you haven't, you've certainly seen the box score, would be my guess. Beverly, Harden, Ariza, Ryan Anderson, and Capella were your starters. First subs, as you might expect, were Gordon and Nene after the first time out coming in for Trevor Ariza and Clint Capella. And then your eighth man off that bench, so we know who the first seven were, your eighth was Corey Brewer coming in for Pat Beverly as kind of your backup two. So, or well, I should say backup three, because when Gordon comes in, of course, he'll switch down to the guard position, even though for a minute they had Beverly, Harden, and Eric Gordon, all three out there, those guards, which you will see from time to time. But so who's going to win that first backup wing spot? And Corey Brewer got the first call. Again, one game, there's going to be a lot of change. But I thought Corey looked really good. I mean, of course, it helps if he could ever shoot a three, and this is an athletic mismatch. But this was the Corey Brewer it felt like that we saw 2 years ago in terms of he was very heady. He anticipated plays well. He got out in transition and ran. And that's something that, for Mike D'Antoni, that's intriguing. What does he bring? You know, at first glance, it's an odd fit because Brewer does not shoot that well from outside, and D'Antoni's system typically likes guys like that. Well, you know what? When you want to play as quickly as Mike D'Antoni does, having a guy who reads plays well and knows how to leak out in transition, like we saw from Corey Brewer in 2014-2015, that's an interesting skill set. And does it mean that much that he passed, that he was ahead in the rotation in the first game, ahead of KJ and Decker? I don't know, but I certainly think that combined with how he played had to be fairly uplifting. I thought he was very smart. The thing with Corey last year, he got off on a bad foot, and it felt like Corey was essentially trying too hard. He was always trying to make up for it. And so whether it be a gamble on defense that was unnecessary and led to an easy backdoor cut for someone, or a play on offense where he just essentially got lost and either threw the ball away or took a bad shot, it felt like he was always trying to play Superman and make up for what had gone wrong. Tonight he played a lot more within himself. I think he only took three shots and he made them all. You know, you didn't see the forced plays that you saw a year ago. You didn't see the turnovers. And yes, I understand he's playing a Chinese team, but again, last year it didn't matter who they were playing against. He was not comfortable in his own skin as a basketball player. That's what we saw to Corey Brewer tonight. Is that inherently better than McDaniels or Decker? No, but when you combine that with his experience and his transition play, you know, it's certainly a case to give him minutes. And then you saw KJ come in. We actually saw both KJ and Brewer get run with, not the starters, but I'd say at least the rotation. And McDaniels brought something different to the table. With McDaniels, you know, yes, he played good defense. We've heard about that forever. We know he's an athlete. But it's not just that he's an athlete. His back cuts away from the ball were really, really good tonight. And that's what he's going to have to do if he wants to be an NBA rotation player. Odds are, at best, maybe you get that three-point shot into the low 30s. But I think we all know KJ McDaniels is not going to be a great shooter. He's not going to be a marksman in the traditional way we think of a wing in a Mike D'Antoni offense. If he's going to play, he's going to have to do some of those Sean Marion things when it comes to using his length defensively, moving without the ball on offense. And by no stretch of the imagination am I comparing KJ McDaniels to Sean Marion. I'm just throwing out an example of someone with a few of the similar tools who succeeded in Mike D'Antoni's system without the best outside jumper. So can it work? Yes, we saw some glimpses of it tonight. Of course, as someone pointed out on Twitter, it's a lot easier to get those back cuts against a non-NBA team Then it's going to be against NBA competition, which we'll see starting Tuesday night against the Knicks. That's going to be a nationally televised game, so I urge you guys to tune in before the Rockets head to China for a couple of games, because you know what? When they're in China, Rockets are going to be playing at 6:30 in the morning, so unless you're up bright and early, you know, you might miss those games. So Tuesday night, national TV, it's a good opportunity to see. Other guy off the bench, I really like what we saw out of Sam Decker. He was very smooth, let the game come to him. He hit a three from outside. That was a big thing that he worked on the offseason, said his jump shot had improved, made a nifty move baseline towards the end of the first half. I did think that he was a little slow defensively, not necessarily slow in an athleticism standpoint, but in terms of his reads, that was something our good buddy Rocket Intellect pointed out last week, that he thought that Decker might be a little behind KJ due to the defense angle, not just because that Decker's inherently limited, but because it's tough to play as a rookie, and Decker's essentially a rookie. And I think you saw a few moments of that tonight, and I think that might be why you saw KJ get in ahead of Brewer. I mean, KJ ahead of Decker, I should say, not ahead of Brewer, because Brewer was ahead before any of them. Trying to think. Other positives, I mean, again, lots of positives. This was a big win. The three-point shooting for the team as a whole was very good. Geez, speaking of, Eric Gordon, wow. I know he just, you know, 3 for 3, 2 of 2 from downtown, but the 2 threes that Eric Gordon hit, I mean, the net barely moved. If you're a shooter, you know that the true sign of a great shot, it's not just a swish, it's that net barely moving, and Eric Gordon, his shot is pure. At least one of those was from 25-plus feet out. And so if he's healthy, you know, Eric Gordon and Nene, all these positives, but knock on wood, you got to hope they're healthy. Man, is he going to be a great complement to James Harden? Because he, again, another example of a guy who knows his role and is comfortable in his own skin, lets the game come to him. So that's the good. Negatives. The thing, there's not a whole lot of negatives in a game like this. One thing that I didn't like, Capella starting the game 0-5 from the free throw line. Look, here's the thing for Clint. I thought he generally played pretty well, ended up with a double-double, let the game come to him. A lot of good things, and eventually his athleticism won out over a Shanghai team that just could not compete with him vertically. But free throws, it's a big thing. You want to see a step up from Clint Capella this year. To some extent, I think those of us in the Rockets fan community, we've made some excuses for him in his first 2 years because, well, his first year, he barely played at all. Last year, it was essentially like a rookie year for him, and we all pointed to the fact that, you know what? His form at the free throw line is pretty good. He shot 60% from the line at Rio Grande Valley. So he really should not be long-term a Dwight Howard-type player at the free throw line. Well, you know what? At some point, you have to produce. And it's pretty clear by now, if he's shooting 60%, a pretty large sample at Rio Grande Valley, and he's got the form, you know, it's not like his technique is off. It's the game is in his head. And, you know, yes, he's young, so there's time to snap out of it. But if he plays major minutes this year and is still a below 50% free throw shooter, at some point you have to get worried about, is it ever going to happen for him? Because NBA history, at least in terms of free throw, I'm not saying it's ever going to happen for him in terms of him as a good player, because certainly Dwight Howard's living proof. You can be a great NBA player even if you don't hit free throws. But Rockets fans, of course, are sensitive about free throws after the last few years. And for Clint, so much of it is a confidence thing. And, you know, it's been a small sample size. He's been young, but you know what? He knows that the minutes are his for the taking this year. He's comfortable, all this sort of stuff. If it's another bad year from the free throw line, it starts to feel like, you know, the Dwight Howard scenario where we knew Dwight would make 80% in practice, but it just didn't translate to the games. And you know what? At some point, even if Capella makes, you know, 80% in practice and 60% in the D-League, you know, if he hits 45 or 50% at the NBA level, that's just what he is. And again, one preseason game, tiny sample. We don't know what he's been doing in training camp. But you know what? What he does in training camp isn't really the issue because, well, he's done well in practice and in the D-League before. What you want to see from Capella is to make free throws in NBA games, and, you know, the closest thing to that is preseason games. So that, it's a little concerning. One game, not going to jump off the deep end, but worth noting, especially when his competition, Nene, went 4-4 from the line and looked very smooth in doing so. Capella, it's just on him. He's just going to have to step up and make those types of shots. Other negatives. Some folks are going to point out, yes, Ryan Anderson went 5 of 15. from the field and 1 of 5 from three. And, you know, no, in theory, you don't pay $80 million for that. However, this is not really the matchup that you get a Ryan Anderson for. And to a lesser extent, Pablo Prigioni. Now, Prigioni, of course, is a minimum guy. But when you look at Pablo Prigioni and Ryan Anderson, these are guys who are system fits. Prigioni with how he can set up an offense intelligently. Ryan Anderson, at one point he had at least decent athleticism for a four. I think we can all agree that last few years, especially with the neck injury, his athleticism is not quite what it used to be. He's still a really good player because there are not very many power forwards in the NBA that can shoot like he can and space the floor. But you know what? In a matchup like this, that's not really where he shines because you know what? Shanghai is so overmatched athletically that you don't necessarily need that stretch four that's going to pull the defender away from the basket. You know, the quickest way to the bucket is a straight line. And so in this game, what excelled was, you know, just James Harden attacking the rim, Nene making things happen inside and crashing the glass, and KJ McDaniels on those back cuts, those alley-oops. This was a game made for athleticism for the Rockets. And Ryan Anderson, he's not a bad athlete, but you know what? Even against Chinese competition, they've got some pretty tall players that are physical, and his game is not against anyone going to be finishing inside in traffic. His game is about the matchup problems that he possesses. His ability to space the floor, his ability to shoot threes, those one-legged jumpers. He did hit a couple of those. His ability to do things that normal power forwards don't do, to make opposing power forwards occupy spaces on defense that they typically do not have to do, thus giving more space to players like James Harden to do their thing. So, again, he had a bad game statistically, but I would put an asterisk on this for Ryan Anderson, also for Prigioni, too. They're brought in for very specific matchup situations against NBA competition. And in a game where there's so much of an athletic mismatch, I think some of their value is negated. I think you'll learn a lot more about Ryan Anderson the more they play NBA competition the remainder of this preseason. Other thing I didn't like, not so much about how they played, but the backup power forward tonight was Trevor Ariza. When they did their rotation, as I said earlier, starting five, Gordon and Nene came out after the first time out. Corey Brewer came on shortly after that for Pat Beverly. And Ariza, after sitting 3 or 4 minutes, he came in to replace Ryan Anderson with about 2 or 3 minutes left in the first quarter. And yes, one game, yada yada. But you know what? That tells you that right now, after Ryan Anderson, there's no one at that power forward spot that the Rockets really trust. And if you throw out Ariza there every night, well, his body's going to wear down, which we saw a little bit last year with how his defense slipped. And maybe you can throw Sam Decker out there some. I know D'Antoni referenced his potential to play some small ball last week, but you know what? Decker's still pretty young. He's just trying to get his feet under him as a three, much less as an NBA four. Right now, behind Ryan Anderson, there's a lot of questions. Montrezl Harrell played a few minutes, didn't look terrible, but certainly he's still young, and especially on defense, still learning. It's pretty clear that other than small ball, there is no one that a true power forward that they trust besides Ryan Anderson. So it's really important for Donatas Moniunis to get there. And right now, he's not there. We all think he's going to be, but right now, there's no one else they trust. So it's a big deal. It's a glaring deficiency. And it's, again, not a huge deal because they can still address it. It's still not till the end of this month. We have over 3 weeks until the season actually gets going. So it's nothing to jump off a bridge about, but it's just a warning, and it shows you what Moniunis' importance is. And by the way, if you guys haven't heard, before the game, I had a chat with ESPN's Calvin Watkins about where things stand with Moniunis. A lot of us, myself included, expected something to transpire over the weekend. October 1st was the deadline for Moniunis' qualifying offer. That's come and gone. Moniunis still has not signed. Conceivably, the Rockets are not just going to offer him 1 year from the minimum and say, well, what are you going to do now? Tough luck. You know, they can still offer him a decent contract, whether it be 1 year, 2 years. But it's dicey because there's no deadline now that's going to press action. So it's hard to say when this is going to stop. And he's going to report to camp. We His locker has not been occupied yet. That's a good sign. New lockers are handed out today. Monty Unis's is still, you know, no one's there now. There are boxes there. So hopefully they expect him to come within a few days. But before the game, I talked to Calvin Watkins, who over the weekend spoke to BJ Armstrong, Demo's agent. He's spoken to both Demo's side and the Rockets about this. And if you haven't heard that interview, I encourage you guys to do that. Calvin still thinks that a deal is going to get done. He does expect Monty Unis to report to the Rockets, but he explains right now why there are some hard feelings, not just between Demo and the Rockets, but between, Demo's agent, BJ Armstrong, and the NBA and the restricted free agency system, which he thinks has really hurt the value of his client. So if you're curious about where things are and when this might resolve, again, please check out that interview with Calvin Watkins. You can find it. It's the podcast right before this. We did it right before the game, so it also is very new. One thing that's mildly encouraging, if you want to believe, Calvin talked to someone in the Rockets organization before the game about could Monty Unis get a visa to go to China on short notice, because, of course, after Tuesday night's game, the Rockets are going to fly out to China for a pair of preseason games the next week. And officials said, you know, of course, it's hypothetical because they have to sign him first. But yes, he absolutely thinks they could. So there's hope. I mean, you never know. All it takes is one Woj tweet and Monty Unis can be there. But he's not now, and while, of course, his absence was not really felt against the Shanghai Sharks, because, well, it's the Shanghai Sharks, at the same time, I think it was pretty clear the Rockets don't really have another power forward after Ryan Anderson that they trust that much. Other options are small ball guys, and ideally, especially with Ryan Anderson's injury history, you would like to have a second true power forward that you could trust if you want to be a good playoff team, as the Rockets envisioned themselves. So it's important that this Demo thing get done sooner rather than later. On that note, going to wrap up from Toyota Center. Thank you guys for listening both to our pregame chat with Calvin Watkins and this postgame reviewing how the team played on the floor. Again, I'm your host, Ben Dubose. I'm a reporter for Sports Talk 790. You can go to sports790.com and read my blog there with written reports from Rockets training camp and preseason games. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. You can also follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnRockets. And you can email us at LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. with any questions for me or sponsorship inquiries that you might have to become a part of this great show. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's not just the Rockets. We have team-by-team podcast, daily stuff covering the entire NBA. And if you haven't checked us out yet, I thank you for listening to us, and also check out a few other teams, because there are some really, really great hosts on this network. We're doing some great things, and I could not be more excited for this 2016-2017 season to officially get underway. Of course, preseason is now, and we're rolling ever closer to the start of the regular season, just over 3 weeks away. So again, thanks to all of you for listening, and I will be back with you again later this week. Happy victory from Toyota Center.